Hi, welcome to another of our Coffee Time Chats. Today we continue our discussion with Paige Duke of Strategic Solution Partners, one of our expert partners. Following our discussion in part one, where Paige outlines some challenges hotels face as group demand returns and the over-reliance on strategy instead of tools and tactics, in this episode, part two, Paige offers advice and solutions hotels can take on board right now to be better prepared as group demand continues to increase. Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's get started.
The easier side of the equation is finding the problems and identifying the problems. Coming yes. up with things that people could be doing to improve, put right, address some of the issues that you've highlighted can be tougher, hence why, you know, people like yourself are able to go out there and build a successful business and help a load of hotel clients to be more productive. So could we just touch a little bit then, as you've nicely summarized what some of the challenges are and where they sit, could we move a little bit into talking about what are some of the things that maybe some simple, I hate to use the phrase low-hanging fruit, but maybe some of the areas where you first go in and you think, okay, these are some of the problems I tend to see. These are some of the solutions I can bring to play.
So the first thing is that everybody, the RFP flow, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, request for proposal, that flow seems to be good everywhere. And, you know, when you're looking at that, you're saying, okay, you know, but I think some low hanging fruit is evaluating the leads, right? Okay. So you could get 15 leads in a day, but there's probably really five that are core to would fit nicely in your hotel, mm-hmm. is over need dates for your hotel, is something that you really, really want to go for. And so not treating every lead the same would be a really, really simple fix.
Quantifying and qualifying the lead.
Correct. Mm-hmm. The second thing is teaching the staff to understand the difference between, you know, they're like, oh, I gave the lowest rate I could. Well, that, you know, that doesn't matter to someone who's asking you and they work on commission, mm-hmm. right? They might not be looking for the lowest rate, and associations work completely different than corporate groups.
Yeah.
And what they want and how they want it and where they want it, understanding the needs of the different customers would be a great, you know, a great kind of semi-start to framing your staff to understand the differences.
Yeah,
that makes sense. Between the RFP sources. Mm-hmm. That would be an outstanding one. And then maybe another one is I hate to say it, but, you know, giving people time back in their day, you know, like these salespeople, you know, are out, you know, working the front desk and stripping, you know, hotel rooms. And not to say that I don't think that that's an amazing thing to, as a salesperson, to show your teamwork with the operations staff. But when it comes a regular thing, or there's constantly a fire drill, mm-hmm. You know, they're up, they're down, they're, you know, running out, they're coming back. You can't get your focus time to be able to sit down and evaluate these things, or create a proper customized proposal to these customers. And so, but I will tell you, there's a lot of discouragement out there with the transactional part of it. A lot of meeting planners don't want to talk to you, right? Mm-hmm. They even say on their voicemail, just email me if you're following up on something.
Okay.
You know, they're they'll tell you, hey, you know what, I went through Cvent. If you have a question, just look at Cvent.
So I'll let you know if I that relationship bit isn't there as much as it may have been.
Right. I mean, I'll let you know if I awarded it or not. And I understand. I really do understand what they're going through, right? I mean, I saw one staff that had two people that were planning 375 meetings a year. Wow. I mean, that seems impossible to me. Like, I don't know how you would even do that. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I think there's a lack of empathy also on the salespeople's part, but it just leads to a lot of discouragement, and I feel for them. I really do. I mean, it's really hard to be going through a pipeline and say, oh, you know, it was on Cvent and they're looking at 12 different cities. 12 cities? Don't you think you could narrow it down to three?
Yeah, it's almost as if they're just, you know, throwing mud at the wall and hoping they'll find something from it. But
Right. But what are you hoping to find? I mean, you're going to get, you know, rates from here to here.
Yeah.
You're going to get, you know,
decide after that.
Concessions from here to here. That's a head scratcher for me as well. So I think that there could be a lot better partnership from the meeting planner side. But on the other hand, I realized that, you know, a lot of them are in a state of crisis. I mean, and for a long time in 2019, if you remember, they couldn't find space.
Yeah, exactly. There's something you mentioned a moment ago when you were talking about the top. I think you said, I'm probably misquoting you, is that the top salespeople that you talk with, they know their prospect, or they know their list, they know the leads that they've got, they know where they are. I mean, do you see hotels regularly having these kind of, I guess, pipeline meetings? And is there a typical structure that you would advise, or things that you would expect to cover in that? I know there's kind of two or three questions in that bit. So, I mean, first thing, are they regularly, are you seeing them being meetings being regularly had? And secondly, are you seeing them being as effective as they could be?
Right. Well, that's the first thing is, generally, I see them. A lot of times I don't see them being effective.
Right.
They're just kind of a what's happening, what's happening, what's happening. And instead of a what's happening, you know, my suggestion would be to take a look at the format of your meeting and say, what's really important here? Like, do we need to go through all 60 of our prospects?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we need to talk about what top three that you're having difficulty with that we can brainstorm about?
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing that I notice is that, you know, I mean, we're not using all of our brain power. Like, you know, you get really great ideas from all over. You know, even I've had BT people in our meetings that say, hey, you know, maybe I can call my BT client and see if they know who this person is, and if they can say, hey, I send, you know, 40, you know, room nights a month to this hotel. Right. I mean, it's just, you know, and we don't want to use that. And the other thing, so maybe you look at 1 week, you look at everything that's 60 days out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the following week, you look at everything for 2023.
Yeah.
You know, and it depends on your market as well,
sure,
right?
Of course.
I mean, there's definitely hotels that don't have that long pipeline that would just go through the whole thing and just, you know, try to decide on, you know, strategies and tactics to, you know, get the customer in the door, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's different, I would just suggest different formatting.
And is this would this be a weekly thing that you would be,
It depends.
Yeah.
It depends, right? You might be really having some need dates in the fall or upcoming mm-hmm. that you mm-hmm. need to really focus on, and you're behind on your crossover.
Yeah.
So maybe you do one on Monday, one on Thursday that,
gotcha.
You know, talks
yeah.
a little
Just
bit about
a bit more. Yeah.
To stay up, you know, it depends on the situation that the hotel is in. And also, but keeping the meetings effective and vibrant. I just, you know, the meetings can be really flat, and when they're flat, it doesn't do anybody any good.
No one walks out of a meeting if they're feeling flat and then say, whoa, let me go and close that deal, is it? It's like, oh God, I'll go and grab a coffee.
right.
And I guess going through your prospect list comes back to the point that you also made about effectively quantifying and qualifying the lead, because I through that process, I'm assuming that also helps you to prioritize where you should be spending your time and spending maybe more of the discussion points as well during those meetings. Would that be fair?
Yes, that would absolutely be fair.
So
is
there anything you could talk to in terms of qualifying and quantifying at all? Because I know, you know, everyone will have different ways of doing it. So I know we can't necessarily be generic, but any tips or hints or guidance or something?
So the qualifying would be really looking at your need dates would be a good one,
yeah.
right? Looking at the source.
Mm-hmm.
Did they come in through your website?
Yeah.
If they came in through your website, they were looking at your product.
Yeah.
They're obviously very interested in a call-in is also a higher priority. So the source is a big one.
Rather than the C-vent that shoved it out to 12 different cities, for instance.
I don't want to be.
No, we're not talking one.
C-vent.
No, we're not talking one. I mean, okay, we'll change the. It's
but
not
there's,
on
but
one
there's
technology,
definitely,
but that principle.
Okay. People looking at one city as opposed to 12.
Yeah.
That would be a big one, right?
Yeah.
Is it a good fit for our hotel?
Yeah.
Is it something that we feel is, you know, if it's 100 rooms and takes up a meeting that works perfectly in our ballroom, you know, that's perfect, right?
Yeah.
How does that work? So looking at the source, looking at the fit for the hotel, and looking at our, you know, at your connection with the group, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Or with the hotel, or with the
previous
hotel.
Client or something like that.
Correct.
As you say,
if they've been previous clients, or is it on your acquisition list? Is it someone that you really want to work with more,
yeah.
and you want to create it and develop a relationship more with, and who does multiple, you see there are RFPs coming through multiple times. Okay, well, maybe we should take a look at that and try to attain, you know, 50% of their business would be a huge, you know, would be better than a one-off, right?
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
So just using those qualifiers is really important, because there are a lot of really unqualified, definitely, you know, or is it a soccer team that's looking for 100 doubles? That's yeah. and yeah. you and you've got 20% double doubles.
Yeah.
That's not going to work. Yeah, it's just not going to work for you. And you might be in an upper scale situation, and they're not going to pay over $150 for a room.
Yeah. I mean, you so just the, kind the of rates they're requesting can dictate and push it down a bit, or even exclude. Yeah, I mean, it, I guess.
Yeah. Now I always say bid, always bid.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean, it has been proven time and time again. And I had a very, very interesting presentation actually from a source that showed specifically the bid rates versus the hotel's success.
Really? Okay.
So you don't want to ever assume, like, I mean, I've assumed before, oh, they're not going to be able to afford us, and booked it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so bid, I encourage everybody to continue to look at bid rates, but also look at your closure rate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we closing what we need to close? Does your team do they have opportunities that they can use to close a piece of business? And how are their closing skills? I have wonderful salespeople that do a absolutely fantastic job with selling. Mm-hmm. But if they don't know how to close, I've seen one of the best sales managers I ever worked with just completely lacked closing ability, because she didn't want to be too aggressive.
Yeah, it seemed to be pushy or something. Yeah.
Right. And I was like, ask for the business. Good gosh. That, you know, you've become great friends with them at this point. Ask for the business, you know.
Yeah,
so it's just.
One of the things I was going to ask you is, I don't know obviously how all the structures and how people are targeted, and less worried about the compensation side of things. But if the focus, let's say, is on revenue sold, if my sales target is revenue I've closed, then that seems like a very unsophisticated, it's a very obvious, but it seems a little unsophisticated in terms of me being able to identify who is maybe my best salesperson or my proactive salesperson. Because I could have a salesperson that's maybe working in the pharmaceutical or medical side, and that market may come back sooner than another. They may just be hitting their target because their clients are coming back and they're getting more inquiries, whereas there could be another market that I have somebody working within. But they could be really prospecting, they could be generating leads. I mean, is there an argument to say that, targets around prospecting, targets around lead conversion, targets around lead generation is as valuable or more valuable, I don't know, than a hard and fast how much revenue have you generated?
Well, I think that a lot of strategies do involve prospecting, mm-hmm. and a lot of teams don't have the time to do it.
Right.
They barely have enough time to get all the RFPs out, mm-hmm. and to my point, answer all of them.
Yeah.
Right?
So back to what you said. Yeah.
So they barely have enough time. And so how do you do that? And hopefully you talk about deployment, and some that just get the leads in and they're just flowing them out and booking the business. And then some that prospect more, hopefully they are gold appropriately,
mm-hmm.
right to that. And perhaps there's the thing that a lot of successful hotel sales departments do are mini incentives.
Right. Yeah.
Hey, who brought a lead out of nowhere?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's give you $100 gift certificate for bringing a lead out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But also it's really prospecting. It's qualified prospecting, right? Mm-hmm. We don't want to just, give, the old lists that we used to go through in the 80s, fortunately they can do a lot more qualified prospecting now. And that's great.
Well, that also comes back as well, doesn't it? Because a lot of the times we, as you say, you know, we're dealing, what's the phrase? I can't, I can't remember the actual phrase, but something like a busy fool. It's like, we can say we're busy because we're working on all of these RFPs that we're getting. But right. if we're qualifying and it's easier for us, you know, not a lot of people like prospecting because they know you're going to get a lot more rejection than you are success. So, hey, I could work on all of these RFPs.
Right.
Maybe based on the criteria, if we were to quantify and qualify them, a lot mm-hmm. of them could be a lower level prospect. Doesn't mean we don't bid on them, to your point, but yep. there could be an argument that there could be an allocation of time could be spent with some more sophisticated prospecting that could be bringing in a better quality of lead or a better piece of business. But it's easy to say we don't have time because we're busy, but we can kind of be those busy fools, can't we?
Exactly. I mean, you can always, you know, when you say you don't have time for something, obviously it's not a priority, right? and it is. It's hard. Prospecting is hard, mm. right? And that's why I hate this, you know, you have to do 15 prospects a day. Well, what kind of traction are you going to get on that?
Yeah.
I'd rather say, hey, my suggestion usually is at the end of your day, spend 30 minutes mapping out your prospecting mm-hmm. for the next day.
Yeah.
Spend 30 minutes just going through a couple. I usually say three really good prospect calls mm-hmm. is solid. I don't think there should be 10 or 15. I like them to be, if it's 3 to 5, actually, you know, that researched
yeah.
prospects, yeah. I feel that there's a lot more value in that than the number.
If you were doing 3 a day, that's 15. So that's 60 in a month. I mean, 60 well-researched prospect calls, if they were there.
Yes,
you would think some of that would lead through, maybe not immediately, but there's 60 warm contacts that you've now established for further down the line, isn't it?
Right, and logging them, right? If it didn't happen in your sales, system, mm-hmm. it never actually happened.
Well, that comes back to what you said before about having tools, isn't it? Talk to us a bit about that in terms of, whilst not naming specific tools that you'd recommend, obviously, but.
Right.
You know,
right.
the importance of a tool. I guess that would be one of your bits of advice going forward, is for somebody mm-hmm. to invest in some sort of tool.
Right. So, and many of the tools, they are an expense, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it can be quite shocking to get some of the quotes that you get now for some of these data houses. Mm-hmm. However, you know, the better, acting hotels and the you know, more successful hotels, I'll use them
yep.
and I'll make that investment. Yeah. And so, but if you also think about it, you're like, oh my gosh, it's going to cost us, you know, umpteen, dollars a year on this monthly subscription. You book one program and it's paid for.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's not right for everybody. It's not a good tool for everyone. I mean, there's select serves. That's probably not a good tool. There's other good tools for, you know, select serves that might, you know, that might be better for them to find their type of business, right? And so there's a difference in the tools, definitely.
I guess from your point, it's having something to at least capture what you're talking about here, whether it's sophisticated or less sophisticated, just
right.
have something where you can capture the information that if you're doing your prospecting mm-hmm. and you're qualifying, somewhere where you can hold that information so you know where to find it, where to get to it, where to do something, where to track it, and where to create exactly. follow-ups later on.
And I definitely would suggest, because, you know, I mean, we get a little lazy when we've been in the industry a long time and we're like, oh, you know, I've spent a lot of time in the last year, which has been fabulous, really committed to retraining myself in mm-hmm. some of the tools. And I think that it's a good investment for upper management to make. And some of the people at the corporate level, is to really understand how these tools have developed. Because, I mean, I will admit, I had a kind of a not so great, you know, attitude about one of the tools. And now I'm a regular user.
Right. Okay.
I think it's great.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I would encourage everybody to reignite and engage with some of these companies to determine whether you think it's the right tool for your company.
And I guess as a final point, picking up on a word where you were talking about, you retrained on some of these tools, but training generally, I would guess, is one of the biggest pieces of advice that you would be given in terms of going forward.
Right. I really, you know, always be learning, right? And no matter what stage you're in, I mean, you know, who is it? Bill Gates reads a, you know, business book a week. to, you know, and you would think that he didn't need to. And my, and here's my favorite. When salespeople tell me that they really don't have time to training and they don't need it, I say, do NBA basketball teams not practice?
Yeah, good point.
We all have to practice.
Yeah.
So even Michael Jordan practices. So that's my favorite, you
was
know.
I'll probably get caught. I don't know if it was Lee Trevino or somebody, which he says, it's funny, the more I practice, the luckier I seem to get.
Right. I love that one too. That's a great quote. It is absolutely a great quote. And so, you know, salespeople, sometimes they do, they kind of attribute it to a little bit of luck. Mm-hmm. And that's really, you know, the salespeople that are successful, there's no luck involved. They're all great, amazing. There's some amazing salespeople out there that I just look at and I'm just like, wow, yeah. They are at the top of their game. They're doing a fantastic job. They're passionate about what they do. And there's still a lot of them out there, and you know we have sadly lost, you know, a few as well.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, there's a few out there that have done some different things. Like, you know, there's great opportunities for contract salespeople right now, mm-hmm. that have just said, hey, I don't want to, you know, go in the office every day, but I still like sales, and I'll still do it. And yep. There's a lot of really, really good people out there that have cut loose and decided to do this on their own, and they're doing an amazing job.
And I think that's the great thing, you know, with the time, as you say, oh, when I say how long I've been in the industry, you know, with your intro at the beginning, but it's giving you a chance to see such a broad spread of skills, yeah. And to see what works, what makes these top salespeople good, mm-hmm. at what they do. And they can all, you know, they're all individual. It's not, they're robotic and all do the same thing. You're able to see hotel companies and how some have done something really well and how others are trying but maybe just miss one or two little steps. So I guess that's, and I think that's why we wanted to get you on here, because we do a lot on the revenue side and on the revenue, right. management, and we do some stuff on the digital marketing. We haven't really had anybody talking to us from a sales perspective, and it is still such a critical piece of the, yes. revenue equation. Mm-hmm. So it's great to be able to tap into your expertise, your experiences, your knowledge, and hopefully those that have been listening to this, if it's on the podcast or watching to this video, will be able to pick up at least one or two little things that they can go back to and obviously revisit. And of course, mm-hmm. we'll make sure that if they want to reach out to you, we've got the relevant contact details, so they can right. they can make contact and follow up that way.
Yes. And on the yeah. revenue side, though, I want to mention we did miss that dynamic.
Yes,
I love pipeline meeting with a revenue manager or a revenue director involved, and the ones that are creative in pushing salespeople like, oh well, we can't really do Friday, so
yeah.
You know, we're going to just bid, you know, for revenue people to say, hey, next Friday is available, yes, or why yes. don't you just, why don't you just bid this and let them know if they go one day before, we'll give them this.
Yeah.
You know, when they bring their creativity and their optimization to the table, it really, really helps salespeople. So let's not miss out on that dynamic, because yeah. again, more successful sales departments have really, really great sales revenue people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, you're right. You tend to find good sales team, there'll be good revenue team as well, and as you say, yes. the working together obviously yes. enhances it. Look, I'm conscious of your time, and I've kept you on here longer than we expected, but it has been great to get your insights and thoughts. Any final comments from your side, or have we covered everything that you wanted?
No, I'm just really happy to be able to give my message about, you know, how to help our salespeople be successful and work as a team, and hopefully, lead to a lot more success at our properties.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's brilliant. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Trevor.
Take care.
Appreciate it. Okay. Bye-bye.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Paige for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. And you can reach us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we are producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.